Solitaire Rose Radio, Episode 17, Interview with Peter Rios, Part 3. I said in the interview that you're about to listen to that I would turn it into a two-part interview. But I thought that the conversation reached a nice natural conclusion at the end of last episode. And this is more about the current state of comics, about a post that Mr. Peter Rios put onto the Comic Geek Speak board, and more about where the state of comics fandom is. So I thought that it would work as a standalone episode. As I've said before, Peter Rios, one of the founders of Comic Geek Speak. And Comic Geek Speak has recently lost one of its own. Producer, longtime co-host, Captain America fan, and a guy with a great laugh, Jamie D, passed away recently. This interview was conducted before Jamie D's passing. And other people online have said far more eloquent things. All I can really say is when I listen to Comic Geek Speak, there will be a hole in the show that they may be able to patch up. But I don't think he'll ever be able to fill it, because Jamie D was very much a big part of the show, a big part of the appeal, and he reached a certain part of my fandom. If you listen to the show, you know he has the voice of the every fan, and he will be missed. So enjoy the third part of this interview with Peter Rios. But as we talk about fandom, recently on the Comic Geek Speak board, you posted a little bit of a rant.
I was trying to, what do they call it, burn the earth? I was trying to...
Yeah, scorch the earth.
Scorch the earth, thank you.
And what it was, it's people, Brian said that we're going to have to create a new forum, and I have been in all the forums. I think we're up to like Earth 7 on the forums. I don't know. And you came in, it's just, let it die. And it was very, I know you're not a wrestling person, but it reminded me of Vince McMahon when he bought WCW, and it's, you know why I bought it? So I can let it die. I'm going to fire everybody. You're all going to be out of work. There'll be no WCW. Let it die. Part of it was I could tell that there was a lot of anger about where the forum is right now. Mm-hmm. But I looked at it more as, you know what? Fandom goes through these waves. Mm-hmm. I've talked about I was on the Kirby list. The Kirby list actually splintered in two back in the year 2000. Because you had the people on it who Stan Lee is an inhuman monster who must be burned at the stake alive, and then while he's still alive, drawn and quartered, and then take the parts and chop them into pieces and feed them to dogs. And it drove off the people who knew Kirby. It drove off Evanier. It drove off Tony Isabella. It drove off any comic professional. So they started another Kirby list. And this was back when, you know, you had the Yahoo list. And then that one fell apart because the 2000 election. Oh, that 2000 election, people were threatening each other. So there's a third list to where the moderator said, we only talk about Kirby. If you talk about anything other than Kirby, you're out of here. Mm-hmm. In comics, we've gone through this huge, huge sales period where sales were better than they'd been in a long time. And now that curve is coming down. And I think there's a lot of negativity from fans where, another stupid crossover that I got to buy 50 parts of. Or, this DC sucks. I keep buying it and it sucks. And everybody sounds exactly like the people on Genie sounded like in 1990 when it's, this Wally West character, fuck him. Mm-hmm. Wally West is Kid Flash. If it's not Barry Allen, I don't care. So when you came in with the burn it down, where did that come from? And what did you expect to happen?
First off, I actually wasn't a wrestling kid when I was a kid. I want to backtrack for a second. My mom used to be a big fan of, was it Bob Backlund? Was that his name?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, when everybody used to get cut foreheads and stuff like that, like some of that early pre WWF kind of stuff. My history's bad. I shouldn't really be talking about this, but so I used to watch that, and I was there for the first couple WrestleManias, if not like the first, not at the WrestleMania, but I used to watch it. You know, or the big moments of sort of the mainstream wrestling where Macho Man shook Hulk Hogan's hand, or where Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant, or the British Bulldogs won the team thing and all that stuff. Yeah. I love that stuff. I was wrapped up in that, all of it. Anyway. All right. So beyond that, what I always find interesting is people, when I'm typing, they think I'm like fuming and, you know, chewing on wood and my fingers are bloodied. I write, and half the times when I'm, and, or I'm sitting in my underwear, or I'm, you know, watching an episode of, I don't know, Star Trek, or like I'm half paying attention and half not. I just sort of just write. And that one was twofold. There really wasn't. It's interesting the voice some people put on my posts. Now that one definitely had some pointed comments and stuff, but it was all truthful. It's exactly what I felt at the moment. But I could easily just say it wasn't. You know, when you said let it die, it sounds like there's like 1,000 exclamation points behind.
Yeah.
Nah, it just said let it die. I was like, just, you know what, let it go. I would have said it to Brian. I would have said it to his face. I would have talked to him, or I would have emailed him and say, you know what, just let it die. I don't think the community is where it is. And honestly, I don't think they are deserving, you know, the bad apples are making it so that they don't deserve the forum at all. You know, that's really, if I was still on the show, I would have felt the same way. Now, having said that, you know, going back to this whole that I think a forum community is based off of, you know, reflective of the show, of a show, you know, there aren't a lot of the geeks that are, Matt, I think, is the one that's on the most on the forum, and he's not even on the podcast that much.
Yeah.
And I think you needed that. You know, you made the point that the forum has grown away from the podcast, which is very true. So in my response to that would be great that, you know what? Ixnay the forum, because that's not, yes, we wanted a community, and yes, it was what it was, but in my mind, it still always needed to feed back to CGS to some degree, you know, because, you know, when things got too off topic, or somebody would dump some stuff that we felt was, you know, it felt very sort of like grand Iowa's, you know, that they wanted it for themselves or whatever. I don't know. To me, I think the forum has outgrown the original purpose, which was to talk about comics, talk about the podcast, but talk about comics through the podcast and through sort of our ideas, and that it was a way to talk to us about those things too. If it just becomes another forum, the internet does not need just another forum, you know. And I think that was the reason why I said, just send it over to Facebook. Facebook, you know, the Uncanny X-Cast, they do all their stuff through Facebook now. And, you know, no, it's not as linear as a forum is. But you know what? We're going to see your names, and we're going to see your face. And I guarantee half those bad apples, the way they talk on the forum, would never talk to me like that to my face. I just know they would. And they certainly wouldn't talk to other creators like that. Or if they do, they would just prove that they are the biggest, whiniest fanboys that they are proving to be on the forum. So yeah, I scorched earth that baby. And you know what? I haven't been back since. And I don't think I will be, because it's not a forum. That's not a collective of people that, I want to be associated with. And no, it's not everybody, but the people that I know on that forum that I do want to associate with, there's Twitter, there's texting, there's emails, there's podcasting. I don't need to go to a forum with a bunch of crybabies.
Do you think the whole idea of a forum is dying out?
Yeah, yeah.
I over the past few years, and I'm going to be shoveling dirt on a grave that, yeah, I'm still in because I'm still a moderator there. I think the whole idea of forums is just dying out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's forums themselves or the fact that comics aren't that exciting right now. You even said yourself, you know, DC rebooted their universe and you're way behind.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often I'll go, hey, you know, here's the big Marvel crossover and 20 messages. I don't know if it's the forum or the fact that people are like,
I think some of it has to do with the larger conversation that comics fandom is having right now. And the conversation is not about the content. I think because of Twitter, sort of like the, geez, I don't even know what generation are we on in comics podcasting, like the eighth generation of comics podcasting or whatever it is.
Oh, right? Who knows anymore?
Yeah. I think the larger discussion is not about the content. Yes, everybody is going to say Saga is wonderful. Yes, everybody's going to say Hawkeye is wonderful. But they're not talking about the comics, the innards, the guts of it, right? Yeah, you know, I don't feel like that's where comics fandom's energy is right now. We get a hell of a lot of discussion on what every perceived motive that DC has, and we get a hell of a lot of pats on the back of every move Marvel makes, and we get a lot of, you know, rah-rah Image Comics, and here's Valiant, and, you know, even there's so many avenues now, Kickstarter and Tumblr and webcomics and Indiegogo and this and that, and there's so many independent projects coming out that I really wonder if something like, say, one of the last big indie books that came out that everybody hit everybody by surprise, you know, Asterios Polyp, right, by David Mazzucchelli.
Yeah.
That was on everybody's best of list. It came out of nowhere, you know, and just landed in our laps, and we all went, whoa, you know. I would really be interested to see if that book came out now, what kind of reaction it would get. I think it would get the kind of reaction that we see. Everybody would talk about it for about 5 minutes, and then they would move on. And once it was actually out there to be read, you would hardly hear a peep about it. And I think that's what's going on now, is that, you know, you get people who talk about half the times I wonder if people are actually reading the thing that they're talking about.
I agree.
You know, I think they just want to be in on the conversation. So they say, yes, Saga is good. Yes, Hawkeye is good. Yes, you know, look at what Image is doing. Oh, my God, look at these 10 other new projects. Meanwhile, you never really even finished the 10 projects that came out last year, you know. So there's this rush to talk about the newest thing, but nobody is really stopping and smelling the roses anymore. And, you know, I think – Maybe is that a good thing? Is comic entertainment getting back to the whole disposable thing again? I don't think so, but and I don't mean that in the literal sense. I mean that in the more of the sort of talking sense, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. It's kind of disappointing. So like when you say I haven't jumped really finished the DC stuff, well, that's because, again, to go back to this whole crazy notion, I never really finished Flashpoint because that was right when I got out of comics. And I don't really want to start Flashpoint because there are a number of years of DC before Flashpoint that I want to read yet. So I'll get there. But you know what? When I do get there, I'm going to, just like I did with Marvel Now for a whole year, you know, I tried to go through and touch back on Marvel Now. You know, how many people were so excited about Marvel Now, and when a year came, nobody talked about it? You know what they were talking about? All new Marvel Now. So I think because of social media and Twitter, we're not, the larger conversation isn't about the content. It's about the industry, and whether for good or for bad, you know, whether it's about diversity, whether it's about gender issues, sexual harassment, whatever, you know, there's a lot of focus on the negative. I think it mirrors into the CGS forum now, and I kind of hold the leaders of that conversation accountable on that. You know, if there was, you know, when I left CGS, I felt like people kind of splintered off. I think I described it to you as like a very Games of Thrones kind of aspect now.
Yes.
You know, everybody has their house and they want to live in it and not deal with everybody else. And I just think that's bull, you know, but so we want to argue and fight on forums and Twitter. But when we go to conventions, we're supposed to be all lovey-dovey, yay comics, team comics. You know, I think that's false. I think that's a fake personality and a fake way to do it, you know? Why can't it all be championing what we like, you know? Yes, when major issues come up, you have to confront them and you have to put them out there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know what? Who cares if there's a title called Grayson out and you don't get to read about Nightwing? Well, go pull out your back issues, you crybaby. You know, this is you want new, and then when they give you new, you don't want it, or you say it's not new. You know, oh, they're just ripping off of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, they're just, you know, doing this, that. Okay. You know, do you want to have this conversation about, you know, there was a Green Arrow and then there was a Hawkeye? I mean, like, you know, how far back does this conversation need to go? There was Superman. Oh, but before Superman, there was Gladiator and there was, you know, this and that. Like, before Batman, there was like, you can't keep having this conversation. So in my mind, when I see that, I'm going to call you out and I'm going to be like, you know what? You're a broken record. You're a curmudgeon. You're whatever words I need to say. I'm going to call you a troll. And, you know what? People can't handle that. And, you know, I always look at it this way. If all you can say about me is, and I'm only saying this because you said the F word a while back, but if all you can say about me is that I'm a dick, well, where have you been since 2005? Come on. So.
That is one thing that I've always appreciated about you. You talk about you want to push the positive, but you also are a person, because we've all known that person who's preternaturally happy constantly and loves everything. Mm-hmm. And that's just as fake as the person who only exists to make the smartass remark.
Right.
It's both. And yeah. My feeling on comics fandom right now is it's way, way, way too inside baseball.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated with sales figures from when I picked up an issue of Amazing Spider-Man and there's the statement of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back, you know, you're 12, you're going to read every word in the damn comic. And it's, oh, Spider-Man sells 224,912 issues annually, you know, averaged over the year, and the latest issue sold more than that, so sales are going up, and ooh, that means there's going to be more Spider-Man stuff. And the problem, I think, is everybody now is talking about that rather than what's in the book.
Right. There's too much access.
I have said a lot. DC has made a huge editorial shift. They made a decision. They brought in Bob Harris. They brought in some of Marvel's creative team from the 90s. Mm-hmm. They've made a conscious decision to have a house style. I don't care for that style, but there are people who do. I am like one of the five people on the planet who will proudly say, I don't like Jim Lee's art, and I think he draws every male and female figure exactly the same. He can't tell a story to save his life. But there are people who love that. So, you know what? That's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that DC should be burned to the ground and salted the earth so that nothing may grow there. Because, hey, when they did the New 52, it sold really well. It sells about what it did before they did this, 3 years on. And they do stunts every September to bump that up again, mm-hmm. and it slowly trails back down. Well, Marvel's doing the same thing. They've learned, and they're starting to learn that they can't do a new number one all the time.
Yeah, this second round is not looking good.
Well, Tom Brevoort said, you know what? It worked for a while. We'll have to find something else, because we can't deal with the fact that books just, even if a book is great, it trends down to 2-3% a month.
Right.
You got to do something to jack that back up. And I got an because he's on the Kirby list, I've emailed him a few times, and he said, you know what, I can count to two comics in the last 10 years where nothing has changed and sales have gone up. Walking Dead and Hawkeye. Everything else, every book that you have loved and said is awesome, started high and went down.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
And I don't think the comics market is in bad shape, because I've been around when it's in bad shape.
Right.
In 1999, the number 300 book sold about 600 to 700 copies.
Wow.
And now the number 300 book sells 4,000 copies. But the number one book is barely cracking 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So your audience is much more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Can publishers publish under that? Can they make enough money to keep going? Don't know. But the fact that everybody knows that, and that's all they talk about.
Right.
They don't talk about the fact that, you know what, this Superior Foes of Spider-Man is a really fun book. And it really kind of has that Hawkeye feel of, okay, it's not traditional superhero stuff. It's character-driven stuff. And the characters are very rich, and they play with how to draw it. They brought in Steve Lieber, who, you know, he's a great indie artist. Eh, we're going to bring him in. He's going to draw these Spider-Man foes. Do people talk about how great the book is, how much fun it is, how they innovate page design and do things you can't do cinematically? Nope. It's just not selling well.
Right.
Well, maybe if you shut up and went out and bought one, it'd sell a little better.
Well, that's the other thread I hate on the CGS forum is the cancellation thread. You know, nothing brings about the cancellation of a comic faster than talking about that it's going to be canceled. You know, it's the whole baguette thing. You know, if people truly, I think what's interesting about the sales numbers is, especially because the overall pie is bigger, right? You know,
yeah.
You talked about DC's numbers slipping, but the overall pie is still bigger than it was prior to the DC 52 reboot. So what I think is actually happening on these numbers is that they're getting a little closer, I would hope, to what is really going out there and what has always been going out there. Those high numbers of comics, you know, when Civil War sold, I don't know, what, 300,000 or whatever number it was. This is the other reason why I get annoyed at people who just hide behind their computer all the time. You know, I go to a lot of conventions, and I've gone to a lot of comic stores, and I've talked to a lot of people at conventions. You know, when we used to do those at the end of conventions and we rattle off everybody's names, you know, that was just a small portion of people we met, you know. So if I'm talking to 100 people at every convention, and I've been to probably more than that, and one year I used to get to, you know, 6 to 8 conventions. Pants used to go to a whole bunch, and you kind of get the flow of what they're reading and stuff like that. Those numbers, which is why I never really sort of put too much stock in them, and I used to always try to get Brian Hibbs on to really talk about them. Those numbers are so nebulous, you know. Civil War might have sold all that stuff, but you better damn well sure I go to conventions and I see Civil War number one in back issue bins by the tens.
Yeah.
You know? So I think what's interesting is you're right. The readership is diversifying and retailers are finally waking up and maybe learning that. So they're not spending so much on every X book and every Batman book, although that is DC's big seller. They're actually learning to trickle that down to other things. So the numbers might be getting smaller, but I think on that aspect, on the retailer's aspect, just by looking at the comic store's shelf, I sort of go, oh, okay, retailers are finally sort of taking chances on things. All right. So I think that's, and I know that's a generalization, but that's kind of what I think. So that's the retailer side of things. You flip it over to the comics fandom. If they spent as much energy on promoting the stuff that they enjoy and not only promoting, but making sure everybody knows it, spreading it out on forums and Twitter and elsewhere, but also making sure that they are pre-ordering, which is, I don't know why that's such a negative word.
Well, I will tell you why.
Why?
Name any other area in your life where you have to sit down with an order book 3 months before you buy something and go, okay, I'm going to buy all these things. I know book readers, they don't do that. People who buy DVDs, they don't do that. People who watch, you know, buy TV shows on comics are the only thing where they tell you, you need to plan your future. We live in a world where if I want it, I go get it. I have Amazon Prime. Something pops into my head. You know what? I would really like to have Zombie 2 because that's an Ian McKellen movie and the people who made it were trying to sneak the fact that it was a sequel to Dawn of the Dead. It's an Italian. You know what? I want that. I could go on to Amazon. Boom. 2 days later, it's at my door. Whereas with a pre-order, it's okay. I'm going to order this and maybe it'll show up in 3 months. Oh, wait, if it's a hardcover, it's going to be 6 months. And if I want to make sure that I get it, because even great comic shops, you might not get it. You got to pre-order and pay at DCBS or something. I got to pay for something 6 months before I get it. And then if it gets canceled, I might get a refund. There's no other retail field where that happens.
But see, I don't see any of that as a negative. If you want comics to thrive, and if the digital format is really just starting to get to that point where you can sort of go, hey, I want to read that, and you can click and buy it, then I think there has to be an understanding about that. And comparing comics to DVDs is just, that to me is not a comparison because the quantity of a DVD is so different than the quantity of a comic, but.
Not anymore.
Well.
I know people who work at Best Buy. DVDs do not sell like they used to.
Well, oh, sure.
Books,
right.
And paperback books, they sell less than comics. Your mainline mystery novel, you know, a person who's not a big name, just, you know, we're putting out 6 mystery novels this month. A Max Allen Collins book. He's kind of a known name. He's won awards. Paperback original by him will sell 15,000 copies.
I think there's still a difference. It's the book publishing market compared to name your lower end self-publisher book that counts on pre-order numbers. And of course, Diamond doesn't make anything easier
right.
either. So with all of that, you know, you can't, until we get the system, and it's coming, you know, the whole digital thing is coming, and it's not like I'm railing against that. When you can't support the book that you really love, and not everybody has to, not everybody wants that responsibility, you know, and the whole online community is such a small portion of the larger community. You know, when you go to conventions and you see really how big the community is, you realize that everybody on the internet, it's a small portion, you know.
A DC editor once told me that if online support was as big as people thought it was back, and this is like the early 90s, Suicide Squad would be the number one selling book and the X-Men would be canceled.
Right. You know, that's why I like talking to retailers and saying, hey, what's the number one book in your store? And they would say, oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, or what was the one at the time that was really big? Was it Umbrella Academy or something? I forget. It was something.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, they were saying that it was bigger than, you know, any Batman or X-Men book. To go to the comic fandom point is, you know, that DC editor is right. The power of the word is strong, but if you don't follow it up, again, I question whether all these people who, you know, like the millions of Stephanie Brown fans, I say tongue in cheek, you know, are they reading Batman Eternal now that Stephanie Brown is in that book? You know, what line does DC then have to cross? Maybe they're saying, well, I don't want a reader in that book. Okay, cross this line, you die. No, cross this line, you die. No, this line. You know, it's like they're never happy, right? They wanted Stephanie Brown, but they want them back in their way. You know, they're not gonna, they're not, if she was in a Batgirl book or they said, here's a tie, here's Stephanie Brown, the title, would it sell? You would get a true reflection of just how big her fandom supposedly is, you know? And that's the kind of thing that I sort of rail against, like this sort of accountability thing, like of, you know, They want more diversity in their comics. Well, did you buy Ghost Rider number one? And did you tell your retailer to put it behind? Did you buy Katana? Hey, look, there's a Storm miniseries, a Storm series. Finally, Marvel is finally giving their preeminent African superhero, female superhero, they're giving her a title, finally. And people are complaining it's $3.99. So in my mind, I sort of go, well, yeah, first of all, Marvel, everything is $3.99 practically these days, but they're probably pricing it so high because they know it's not going to sell. Why? Because no, you don't back up your loudmouth internet yelling, you know, and that's the thing that frustrates me. You know who backs up their what they say? I back up with what I say. I bought Vibe. I'm buying all new Ghost Rider. Because I want to support the books that I'm talking about when it comes to like diversity and things like that, you know? And that's that disconnect, whether you believe in pre-ordering or not, that to me is such, that's when I start calling out the bull. I'm like, yep, you know what? Keep ranting. 2 days will go by, it'll boil over. Publishers won't pay attention because you have trained the publishers not to pay attention to you.
Right. Well, the publishers all look at one thing and one thing only. The only reason any comic ever in the history of publishing has gotten canceled is because it wasn't selling what it needed to sell.
Right.
Period. And I've said this since comics went to $3.99, and I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. Publishers have learned. What's in the top 25? Oh, look, every book in the top 25 is selling $3.99. Where are the $2.99 books? Oh, they're way down the chart. And Marvel learned it. They did books for a buck back in the 90s because everything was $1.95, and they kept getting all the feedback from retailers and conventions and online that the comics are just too expensive. So they put out comics for a buck. And they did not sell.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the middle of the Clone Saga. Kurt Busiek puts out Untold Tales of Spider-Man, the best Spider-Man book of the 90s. Did not sell. Why? Marvel was like, but this is what you want. Then they did surveys. Well, it's a dollar because it's not any good. That's what the people would say. Well, it's cheaper, so it's probably not any good. Joe and I just talked about the Ultraverse.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel bought Malibu for their coloring. Said, well, you know, we'll use these characters and everything. Well, they're not selling real well, so we'll cut the price. They cut the price. They put on Warren Ellis and George Perez, and yeah, they put on some big-name people. They sold worse than when they were $1.99 or $2.25.
Mm-hmm.
Because the perception is, well, they're $1.50. They can't be any good. So the $2.99, people will say, well, I won't buy it because it's $3.99. Well, everybody else, it's the number one selling book and it's $3.99. So somebody's buying it. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Probably the same people who, well, I'm not going to buy Sandman because the issues are so late. Oh, wow. It's still selling. And then when it's a book, it's going to sell for years. I think there's also a lot of I want to yell about this. But then I'll buy the book anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. When I say I'm not going to read something because of a certain reason, it's usually a writer or an artist that have proven to me in the past that they either can't get a story done on time, so I'm not going to bother till they're done, or I just don't like their work. And I'm not going to name any names, but there are some artists and writers who I'm not going to buy their stuff. Why? Are they a horrible person? No. There are a couple I've met. They're the greatest people in the world. I don't care for their work.
Mm-hmm.
And why should I spend money on stuff I don't like?
Right.
In the end, and I think this escapes a lot of the people online and the people who delve in, it's entertainment. And entertainment is a discretionary income. No one skips food and rent for comics, and if they do, they're not going to do it for long. And we talked wrestling a little earlier. There is Vince McMahon learned this when the big attitude era of the 90s faded. It's, oh, I've got a core audience. I need to still make more money than I made the quarter before to make the stockholders happy. I've got this core audience, and all the people who were watching are going away, so I'll raise the price.
Hmm.
Oh, well, that drives out more of the casual fans. I got to raise the price.
Right.
And I think comics are at that point now where for a book to be profitable, it's got to be 32 pages for $4.
Right.
And if sales go down more, well, it's got to be 32 pages for $4.99. When do you hit the diminishing returns?
Yeah.
I hope we're not at that point.
But again,
that's inside baseball.
Right, right.
Whereas every Wednesday, it's more, oh, did you read The New Walking Dead? They finished All Out War. It was so awesome. Did you read Superior Spider-Man? Oh, that was so much fun. They ended it before I was ready. I wanted another 2 years. Well, cool. They left you wanting more.
Right.
Did they make you want to turn the page and see what's happening next? And really, when you get down to it, that's what Kirby was an expert at. It's what good storytellers are at, and it's what comics need to be. It's, I got to know what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you excited about in comics? We'll wrap up with that. What is it that you can't wait? Joe and I do a thing, freaking and geeking. So you and I have had our freaking. What are we freaking out about? So what are we geeking on? What are you loving? When you go to the shop, what can't you wait to buy?
Here's a couple of things that have wrapped that I haven't talked about to any major degree. I do think that the FF series by Fraction and all the All Reds, Lee, Mike, and Laura, ended that whole series. I thought was great. We're in a new James Robinson FF's, you know, era right now, but the FF series, Marvel Now, especially the wrap up and especially the Ant-Man versus Doctor Doom fight. I don't know if have you read the series or no?
I have. I am behind on that one.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about how far behind I am on things. It's about as bad as you.
Yeah. If you get a chance to read that completely through and you read that fight, it is great. I thought that series, for as whimsical and quirky as it is, it by the end had something to say, and I wish more comics were the same. So that has me excited for that and Superior Spider-Man has me excited for the Dan Slott, Mike Allred, Silver Surfer. I like these quirky offbeat books, and those books are along those lines. So that's something sort of current and relevant. Because of the last name, it's a little bit, nepotism or whatever you want to call it. Emma Rios, her artwork in Pretty Deadly over at Image with, Kelly Sue DeConnick writing. I had beyond it. I love it just because I love looking at a book, and it's rare that I love to look at a book unless it's like Paul Pope or something. I get swallowed by it, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to watch it. I have to look at this. I really, really, really dig, Greg Rucka's Lazarus comic. I read the first trades worth, the first story, and I'm letting a couple more issues build up before I jump back in. Fantastic world building going on. It's not necessarily anything new or revolutionary in terms of the story or the content, but the way it's executed is great. and he has text pages that are full of timelines, and it just reminds me of just wonderful text pages from like the 5 years later Legion era stuff. So I love that. I am all about, looking forward to Grant Morrison's Multiversity, of course. I can't wait for Infinity Man and the Forever People with Dan Dio and Keith Giffen, because their OMAC run, 8-issue run, was just so much fun. Futures End, the weekly, I'm looking forward to that. I pick up Morning Glories every week, or every time it's out. There's this whole new push of a young cast or student cast in some kind of quirky setup. So we got like Morning Glories and Five Weapons and Deadly Class, and Boom Studios has a book called The Woods coming out, and Oni's has The Bunker. You know, they're all sort of the same thing. It's like, you know, X-Men meets Lost meets Goonies meets, you know, Lord of the Flies. what else? You know, I pick up Saga. I'm behind on it, but that's kind of this, you know, that's sort of, you know, a few things I'm kind of jonesing for. There might be some other things I'm not remembering. I think that's the Multiversity one. I think for me, if that caps off Grant Morrison's superhero conversation, I'll be happy.
Well, on that, I could not agree with you more. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
And this will conclude the interview. It's a two-parter. I don't seem to be able to do a one-part interview with anybody. So once again, thanks, and we will talk again at some point.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you for letting me play in your sandbox.
Oh, always. And that is the end of the epic interview with Peter Rios. I want to thank him again. The fact that he would join me for not just an interview, but for such a long, extended interview is, well, I don't know how many times I could say thank you, so I'll just say it one more time. Thank you. I also want to say thank you to the listeners out there, whether you've heard the show before or you're just tuning in because you wanted to listen to Peter Rios. I want to thank you. Go back and listen to some of the older episodes. I've got an interview with Greg Theakston that I learned a lot during. I have a ongoing series about the life of Jack Kirby, and very soon there will be the beginning of an EC series that Peter and I have talked about in previous episodes. That one of the reasons it hasn't started yet is because the more I look into it, the more intimidating it becomes. And I don't want it to become a, all right, today we're going to do issue 24 of Tales from the Crypt. But I can very easily do that. So hopefully I'll be able to find that balance between giving way too much information and giving a high overview Wikipedia version of the story of EC. And with the passing of Al Feldstein, that means there's only one EC artist still alive of the original group, and that's Jack Davis. So I think it's important to look back on our past. If we're comic fans, we need to know where things come from. And Peter and I touch on that. He has his own thing where he keeps wanting to read back to see the roots of things. And that's kind of how I became interested in comic book history. So that's coming up. Our next episode will be the beginning of the history of EC Comics. This show has sponsors. Sponsor number one is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the web host that I use. I use it for the website. I use it for the podcast. So you can go there. They have very reasonable rates. They're a wonderful web host. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. My other sponsor is Graze.com. Graze.com is healthy snacks sent to you in the mail. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, that's Corey S 3R5P, your first and fifth boxes are free. The only sponsors I have are the sponsors that I use. So DreamHost.com, Graze.com, they're my sponsors. check them out if you're so inclined. Podcasts live off feedback, so I would appreciate feedback if you would like to say something. If you would like to call, you can call at 952-856-0519 and leave a message for the show. You can email me at corey.strode@gmail.com. You can contact me on the Facebook at facebook.com/solitaireroseradio. Again, I want to thank you for listening, and we'll be talking again soon.